can chill any man that tries.
I heard that.
I heard they live down in the south somewhere, but shit, I'm just glad I don't have to deal with them.
Ryan and JB also tell us about fighters with weird shit clothes, wear helmets, and fight with odd blasters. They hear these pass through.
A cold silence descended on the party. Slowly, all the farmhands except Jack and Dean rose to their feet and headed off to their work without another word. With the exception of Curtis, who turned back for a second.
Just a word, friend. You and your people shouldn't talk of that. There are those around here who would rather forget.
JB and Ryan were also finding it hard to get information. On their sec duties along the strip of bars and gaudies that formed the main drag and trade of Crossroads, they'd asked a few questions of both their fellow sec and of passing convoy workers who'd befriended them in bars. So far, all they had asked about was the gate, and the response had been the same as that received by everyone else. The gate tribe was looked on as an oddity, hard to best and fair to trade, but content to keep to themselves. Consensus seemed to put their camp out to the south or southwest of the ville. But things had been different when they tried to bring up the illuminated ones. Deliberately keeping their descriptions vague, they both noticed that those who passed through either knew nothing or had only heard a few wild rumors. Those who came from the ville were quick to shut up.
One thing's for sure, JB. If we carry on and rattle enough bars to find out something...
Yeah, I know, Ryan.
Ryan said this on the third night, as he and the armorer were patrolling the main drag. Now trusted to fulfill their task without his assistance, the garrulous Yardie had given them free rein, just when they could really have benefited from his talkative nature. It had been a quiet night, with only a few drunks harmlessly shooting off their mouths, and they were looking forward to getting off shift and getting some sleep as the sun began to rise. So they were surprised when Yardie came barreling toward them, his dreadlocks swinging free in time with his fat man's gait.
Why do you think he's here, JB?
Maybe he's come to practice his famous fighting skills on those too drunk to throw a straight punch. Or maybe he just wants to talk.
Which maybe is just what we need. Hey, Yardie, what's happening?
Nothing much by the looks of it.
So why do we need the company?
You know, I wouldn't have put you down as a stoop type.
Me?
Yeah, you and your friends. You all ask a lot of questions.
Just a healthy curiosity about the area.
Oh, yeah, sure. Trouble is, you ask the wrong sort of questions.
Which are?
About people who pass through here, or people who don't.
There was something in the fat man's tone that made both Ryan and JB get that familiar tingling up the spine. Both immediately went for their blasters.
I don't think so, boys.
Looking around, Ryan could see that they'd been surrounded by Barsec, appearing from out of the buildings all around them. The two companions knew when they were outmaneuvered and dropped their hands.
Good move, gentlemen. I really wouldn't have wanted anything to happen to you. Now, you'll be good and follow me. The Baron wants a word with you.
The sec chief turned and headed toward Robertson's quarters. Ryan and JB exchanged looks, shrugged, and followed. No words were exchanged on the short walk, and neither Ryan nor JB was surprised to see the rest of their comrades already in the Baron's villa. Robertson himself was seated on what passed as a throne, looking as laconic as ever.
Thanks, Yardie. You and your men are dismissed.
But
dismissed, Yardie. And close the door behind you. Now, you. I've been hearing things. Things I don't like to hear.
Such as?
Well, you must have realized by now that I don't mind you asking questions about Crossroads. Hell, it helps if you know a little about a place, I figure. But sometimes you can go too far.
Like asking about the Illuminated Ones?
That's what I like about you, Ryan. You're sharp. Sharp enough to cut yourself. And just maybe that's what you're doing here.
Is it, Robertson? All we did was ask about a bunch of cold hearts we've come up against.
Cold hearts is right.
Something we should know about?
Mildred, is it? Yeah. See, we'd heard about these bastards you call the Laminated Ones.
Illuminated.
That's what I said. But they'd never come near us. Not until one day when they rode in at sunrise, and those armored wags of theirs used those motherfucking weird blasters and took some of our people. Haven't seen them since.
What about your people?
Don't really know. Yeah, they lost them out in the forest, and we never saw them again, which is why we don't like to talk of it.
Robertson stopped for a moment, as though considering whether to go on, before reaching a decision.
There's one thing, though. Whatever happened, one of ours came back. A girl. She couldn't remember a damn thing, and she was the first to develop that weird shit disease.
And the first to die.
And we don't talk of it for one simple reason.
Which is?
Because she was my only daughter.
It was a matter of biding their time, although time was the last thing they had to their advantage. On being sent back to their shack, nobody spoke of what had happened, in case they should be heard by any spying sec placed by Baron Robertson. It wasn't certain he'd do that, but in order to carry out any plans they may have, it was necessary to make the Baron and his sec men think that they were keeping their heads down and doing as requested. So they waited for the opportunity to decide a course of action. It made for a difficult couple of days, avoiding all mention of the gate or the illuminated ones. In each of their allotted tasks, they carried on as usual, letting up on the questions. The pox was spreading, and now 6 people had died. Every bed in the med building was now full, and Hector had others brought into the building from hotels along the drag. Without more staff, those he had were working overtime just to keep the patients comfortable. There was no time to think about searching for some kind of antidote or inoculation.
Even if I had time, Mildred, I have no idea how to go about it. I've heard that before the new costs they could do this, and things you've said have made me think this was possible, but I only know what I know. I'm the healer here because there isn't anyone else, and my mother was the healer before me. Doesn't mean that I really know anything.
You're not doing so badly, Hector.
Mildred could see in Hector's drawn, pallid face and dark ringed eyes a man who cared about what he did and felt helpless in the face of what seemed insurmountable odds. She could sympathize because she knew how he felt, and she knew that he'd soon be left to cope alone. But it was the only way they could even hope to get to the root of the evil and destroy it. Since awakening to the vastly changed world of the Deathlands, Mildred had almost forgotten about such simplistic notions as good and evil. But this was another matter entirely. She could almost taste the evil behind this possibly intentional revival of a disease thought wiped out a century earlier. Hector looked up at her as this went through her mind.
Yeah, but it's not enough, Mildred. It's just not enough.
They were words that stayed with her as she, Christy, and Doc returned to their shack. Christy, who knew what Mildred was thinking, was the first to verbalize what had concerned them all for some days.
When we head off, Hector's going to have problems coping with this on his own. It's growing, and we've got to go soon.
It's not a pleasant prospect, but something that must be done. Though we have not talked of it yet, I fear we must go soon, or this will become an epidemic.
I'm not so sure that it isn't already, old man. So far, it's only people from Crossroads who've succumbed. But there are so many people who passed through here and could have picked it up. And as soon as someone from outside starts to show symptoms, then it gets really serious. If it travels,
then there'll be nowhere left to hide.
Circumstances were conspiring to force their hand. Ryan and JB were on patrol along Crossroads' main drag, the dark night beyond banished by the glare of generator-powered neon signs, and the oil lamps from within the bars and gaudies spilled out through open doorways. It was a busy night as a new convoy had hit town, coming from the northeast coastal regions. It was led by a trader called Conroy, a tall, rangy man with a beard that was plaited halfway down his chest, old aviator-style shades, and leather pants that creaked as he walked. His sec force was hired mercies, and his staff of driver, accountant, and quartermaster were regulars who'd been with him for some time. He used the East Coast trade routes frequently, which brought him through Crossroads on a regular basis. Trader Conroy was a man who worked hard and played hard. He'd completed a successful trip and was ready to enjoy himself. He had immediately hired the sluts of 2 houses and paid well to take over 1 complete bar on the strip for himself and his men. He had also invited Ryan and JB to join him.
Buy a drink, boys? Maybe a woman if you want one?
A drink will do. Thanks.
See, I can tell you boys are a little suspicious, and that's fine. You ain't been here long, and you don't know how I operate.
That's not our concern, as long as there's no trouble.
That's a damn fine answer. But that's it, don't you see? My boys have worked hard and deserve some fun. And maybe they're a little high-spirited. Hell, if they get too boisterous, then you crack on them. I don't want to piss Robertson off, man, because this feels damn good to me.